You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yes, this show is solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, hey, I'm glad to go to the phones again right now and bring on Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman Brooks serves right here in the listening area in the Congressional District 5 for the state of Alabama. He is currently running a race right now for the U.S. Senate. The lead candidate, as far as we know, despite any outlier poll that might be coming in. And I'll just say this, he has also been known as one of the more conservative members of Congress for his entire tenure there. Glad to have him on the show. Congressman Brooks, how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. It's been a long day. We started in Huntsville with the Space Club, a speech there. Then went to Montgomery, had a town hall type event, followed by another radio talk show that lasted over an hour. And then if you're familiar with the Wilco, a nationally broadcast show, and I'm in Opelika where we're about to have another town hall type event. So end up in Tallapoosa tonight. Busy day.
Yeah, had to have somebody remind you where you are, right? Hey, listen, I got to ask you this, Congressman, right out of the gate. Saw a report just last night or this morning that you said that if you're elected to the U.S. Senate, you intend to challenge Mitch McConnell for leadership in the U.S. Senate. Tell us about it.
Well, it's my view that, well, let me be clear first. I will vote for someone other than Mitch McConnell. I believe that the Republican Party can do better. The Republican Party needs to do better. And certainly America needs us to do better. And that's my position. I'm sticking to it. I hope that the other candidates in this race will make a similarly strong stance concerning the need to replace Mitch McConnell with someone who's a better message carrier and also who has a better message to carry. When I say that, carrying the message is one thing. We need someone who has the respect of the American people, and Mitch McConnell has the worst reputation of any leader in Washington, D.C. His favorable-unfavorable ratio is three times worse than Joe Biden's. So that gives you an idea of how receptive he is with the general American public, and he's about 50% worse than Nancy Pelosi's. And then the message also needs to be better. It should not be a message of us basically catering to special interest groups and doing that they want us to do. The message needs to be making America first.
Well, totally agree with that. And I'll tell you, just not to take up too much of our time to talk together, but anecdotally here, when Robert Bentley was governor of the state of Alabama and Jeff Sessions had stepped down from his U.S. Senate position, I was one of the ones that Governor Bentley interviewed as a possible replacement. I'll never forget sitting there in the governor's office. He had a sticky note and he looked at me and he goes, "Look at this." He said, "I got to call McConnell back for the third time." He called down here and said, "Whatever you do, don't send me one of those Freedom Caucus types." And I thought, see, there you go. He was literally saying, "Don't send me a conservative U.S. senator," and you saw how that worked out.
Well, since I was the only House Freedom Caucus member that was under consideration, that tells you a lot. I did not know that Mitch McConnell was that active, but they do not want principled conservatives because we principled conservatives actually keep our promises, and that's not something that the special interest groups want out of senators. And those special interest groups are the ones that plow millions of dollars into campaigns, and that is the way in which Mitch McConnell believes we should get elected. I believe that the way we should get elected is by doing a good job, but that's different from Mitch McConnell's modus operandi.
Well, I totally agree with challenging his leadership and appreciate the fact that you're willing to say it on the way in the door. Let me ask you this, though, on some of the issues that are out there. My recollection, Congressman, is you have a degree in economics with honors from Duke University, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I graduated with highest honors at Duke. They called it a distinction.
Well, so being more of an economist than me, tell me this. Do the midterm elections, which are looking right now to be like a landslide for Republicans all the way around, do we have an opportunity to do something about the energy independence that we used to have? Is there anything that can be done, congressionally speaking, to roll back these executive orders and regulatory burdens that are causing the price of gas at the pump to soar?
If we had enough votes, absolutely. But it's going to be a challenge to get enough votes where we can go on offense and actually turn our America First energy independence into legislation, and here's why. We can get that kind of legislation out of the House, but in the Senate, you've got a filibuster rule that hampers you. You've got to get a 60% margin of support, and being energy independent is a death knell in Democrat primaries, which is why so many of their elected officials are anti-energy production. And then you've got to have enough votes, two-thirds, to get it past a presidential veto, two-thirds in the House, two-thirds in the Senate. So 2022 is basically a stop sign to prevent the Biden administration from legislatively doing bad things, and it's a step in the right direction for when we have a Republican president after the 2024 elections.
Well, and it's going to have to happen. I mean, at the very least, we've got to take back the majorities in both. But let me ask you this, though. In regards to the pain at the pump, you know, we're hearing that right now there is a call to D.C., to the Biden administration, to move towards some type of a repeal or a moratorium, if you will, on federal gas taxes. Now, that would have to be a legislative matter, I would think. But do you hear anything in D.C. right now about relieving the populace of the tax, at least temporarily, at the pump?
I hear rumor mill, but nothing has been scheduled for a vote, keeping in mind that Nancy Pelosi typically tries to surprise Republicans so that when they do dirty things, bad things, we don't have enough public support for our position to change the outcome. And the more time that we have to explain to the public what's going on, then the greater the chance that the public will participate in the discussion and influence both Republicans and Democrats in a positive way. So that's their general strategy. I don't know where they are on this potential gasoline tax moratorium. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, it would be, I think, 18 cents federal, and there's 28 cents state. I mean, it would make a dent, but right now, even Republicans don't often want to talk about it. But
I'm pretty sure that whatever we did at the federal level would not cover the state taxes.
No, that's true. You're exactly right.
The states, they actually have to pay for the things that they purchase, as opposed to the funny money policy at the federal government level where they just borrow more, not giving one twit about the adverse effect that has on future generations in our country.
Well, Congressman, in the time that we got, let me switch gears on you. Of course, right now we have Senate confirmations. The Senate has the sole opportunity for confirmations, or for that matter, non-confirmations of candidates to the Supreme Court of the United States. And we have, for the first time that I recall, the candidate to the Supreme Court has truly been selected initially solely on the basis of race and gender. The intersectionality, the division of the United States by the Biden administration is epic levels. And so right now we're looking at a possible confirmation. Your thoughts as we move forward on Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson? Obviously, you won't be there for her confirmation process, but nonetheless, your thoughts on it?
I do not support racism. I do not support sexism. No one should be chosen based on their race or based on their sex. We should go with the person who has the highest qualifications. Notwithstanding that, whoever the president of the United States is has the right to nominate whomever they wish. And if I were in the United States Senate, I would oppose this particular nomination because I have great confidence that this particular nominee would not abide by the United States Constitution and would do what the left so often does, where our justices and our judges make law instead of doing what they're supposed to do, which is obey and interpret the law. We're a republic. Lawmaking is supposed to be in the hands of our elected representatives and senators, not judges, but that's not the way the Democrats see it.
No, and totally, and good point. Listen, Congressman, in the couple of minutes we have left, I just want to ask you, Ukraine. I've been calling it on this show, in terms of foreign policy, at the very least, it's the story of the decade. Regardless of whether someone sees it as a war we should or should not be in, it's still the story of the decade. Watching war in Eastern Europe. Your thoughts right now on U.S. response thus far under the Biden administration in Ukraine?
Well, I've come under attack by both Katie Britt and Mike Durant because I believe that the United States of America should not be the sole police cop on every corner of the planet. And I believe that if there are significant reasons why military force needs to be employed, well, then it needs to be a significant multinational effort. Applying that to the situation in Ukraine, this is Europe's turf. They should take the lead on the weaponry that is supplied. Europe should take the lead on whether military personnel are going to be involved in this fight. And then the United States, being an ally of the free nations of Europe, we should consider helping in each of those instances. But Europe has to start taking the lead in defending their own continent.
I don't disagree with that. I do believe there's going to wind up being U.S. lethal aid continued to be involved. But right now you've got Poland talking about transferring MiG-29s and the Biden administration standing in the way. Wouldn't that be Europe trying to do something that the U.S. is saying no to?
Well, this is all puzzling to me because Poland could transfer the MiG-29s to Ukraine without American assistance. They are, after all, Polish airplanes.
I would agree. I think there was a NATO vote on that. I think they were looking at it being a NATO transfer as opposed to just a pure Polish transfer. And I question why the U.S. would stymie a European response by and through NATO.
Well,
but that being said, what do you think? MiG-29?
Well,
or
we
no?
shouldn't have been in the role of stymieing it. This is something that Poland can do on its own. It does not need the permission of the United States. Poland is a sovereign nation. And if that's what they want to do, then they should go ahead and do it. They should not try to hide behind the skirts of the United States of America.
And there you go. All right, Congressman, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. We appreciate it. Ran a little long on that one to make sure we get it all in, but we appreciate you, and we'll keep track of things as you go forward in the race, and thanks for your insights.
My pleasure, Phil. Have a blessed day.
Yes, sir, you too. All right, Copper, take us to a break before we run out of time. That was Congressman Mo Brooks. We ran the gamut on a few quick points with him. I think we need to get a time where we just have him in studio. We just sit down and make a longer segment out of it and maybe do the same with the other candidates. If I can get Katie Britt to come on the show again. I don't know if I will. Anyway, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. I've got to decide now which of the two segments I've got left and I'm going to do in the last 30 minutes. Ukraine or culture wars? I don't know. We'll come back in a minute and see. Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.